Welcome to the Miracle Camp podcast, and thanks for checking out this recording from summer camp. Please enjoy listening to our speaker from this week.
All right, good morning, guys. Parents, adults who are here with us, thanks for being with us here for this final chapel. And we do have a few parents who are standing in the back, and so if there are any available seats, if you all are able to kind of scoot towards the center to make some seats available on the aisle, if anybody wants a seat, that would be fantastic. So I'll, for our parents or our adults who are joining us here, my name is Kevin Clark, and I've had the privilege and honor to be the speaker here this week with your camper here at camp. In my when I'm not doing this, I live in Warsaw, Indiana, and I teach Bible classes. There you go. I teach Bible classes to 7th and 8th graders at a school called Lakeland Christian Academy. So I'm around middle schoolers a lot. So this was pretty easy for me. In fact, I always feel like coming up here to camp is a good tune-up for me to get ready to jump back in to the school year. So I've had a blast being here with them. Now, to you all, I know last night I said we're going to have to close up on shout-outs for people, but we are going to do a couple shout-outs, all right? You guys are like, you lied to me. No, we're going to do a couple. So if you are on staff here at camp or are a camp aide, will you stand up just for a second? Shout-out to you all. You all are the MVPs of the week. You guys are the ones who are getting it done from sun up to sundown. And I hope you feel the love and the appreciation from these campers. And I so appreciate you guys for what you do. Now, final shout out to all the adults. I know where some of you all are driving in from, and you got up early to be out here. So will you make them, will you thank them and appreciate them for? Thanks for being here. Thanks for being here with us. What I'd like to do, this is kind of, what we're going to do here is, For our adults, for our parents who are here, I'm going to give you just kind of like an overview of what we went through this week. And so it's going to be a combination of me and this group here. We're going to kind of tag team this so you get a chance to see what your camper learned this week. And so we're going to go pretty quick. It might feel, to use an old expression, it might feel like you're drinking out of the fire hose, but your camper was really good this week about taking notes, about writing things down. We gave some challenge questions to them. Every session, we tried to work through three questions. Our first question was? What? And what usually was, we tried to boil the passage that we were looking at down to like one word, maybe two words, so that kind of helped us understand what we were studying. Our second question is always? Second question is always, so what? Meaning, what does this have to, why is this important? Why are we looking at this? And so we tried to explain why this was an important part of this passage. Third question is always,
now what?
Third question is always, now what? Which means, what do I do with the information I just learned? And so, your camper has either a question or a statement when we got to now what? That was hopefully a challenging question, almost kind of like holding a mirror up to ourselves in light of the scripture we looked at, to say, what am I going to do with this stuff that I just learned? Some of them were questions that we are asking Jesus to reveal to us. Some of them are statements that we're going to do. So we're going to roll through this. We'll try to be quick. But if you get lost somewhere along the way, they have the answers for you, and you have a couple hours in the car that you can ask them about this stuff if you missed anything. Are we ready? Okay, here we go. So the first, we had 11 sections. We had kind of 11 words or phrases that we worked through. Our first word was? First word was joy in the first part of chapter 1, where we find out that Paul is actually writing this letter to a church from jail when he wrote this, but he keeps speaking about having joy in spite of being in jail. We said, how can somebody have joy when they are in jail? And how can people encourage other people to have joy when they're writing from a prison? But Paul is encouraging the Philippians, and therefore us as well, to live with joy. And do you remember we said there's a difference between having joy and what? There's a difference between joy and happiness. Happiness is kind of circumstantial. It lasts for a moment and then it goes away. Think about your favorite athletic team. If they win the game this week, then you're happy for a minute, but then you're just like, oh shoot, now we've got to worry about next week and that team. So happiness is very temporary, but joy is eternal. We said joy is one of God's fruits of the Spirit, but happiness isn't. So joy runs much deeper. And so Paul can have joy even though he's in jail. And we said that the best way for us to experience joy here on this earth is by following Jesus together. We can experience that joy together. Okay, our second word was?
Motivation.
Our second word was motivation. Paul then starts talking about there are people, presumably around the Philippian church, that were talking about Jesus for the right motives. They had the right motivation. And then there were some people who were talking about Jesus with the wrong motivation. They were doing this for selfish gain, or they were doing this because they were jealous of other people, or they were doing this out of a rivalry. And what's interesting is Paul says, you know what, it doesn't matter if people are preaching about Jesus with the right motive or the wrong motive, because Jesus is still being talked about. But he wants us to have the right motives for what we do with Jesus and our reasons for talking about Jesus. And we tried to connect the importance to this is because our motivation is directly tied to our hearts. And so whether it's about following Jesus or anything else, what's our motivation for what we do, what we're doing, why we do what we're doing when we do that? So I can have, if I have kind motives, then that usually comes from a kind heart. If I have selfish motives, that usually comes from a selfish heart. That takes us to our third word, which was live. It wasn't just live, it was live with all capitals. And so Paul goes on by saying, even though he's in jail, and whether he lives through this and survives jail, or even if he dies in jail, he said, I'm good either way, because either way, I'm living for Jesus. I'm living for Christ. So if I'm staying in this jail, every day you better believe I'm living for Christ. If I die while I'm in jail, then I win either way, because if I die, then I get to be with Jesus personally. But the encouragement there is that regardless of what circumstance we're in, is that we live through that. So what I tried to communicate to your camper, is that things will at some point become difficult. What do we do in the difficult situations? Do we just kind of say, well, I guess there's nothing can be done? Or do we continue to live through that following after Jesus, in pursuit of Jesus? That took us to our next word, which was, starts with an H, humility. Yeah, I'm going to give them a little bit of a break. They had Hunger Games last night. They stayed up late. It was last night of camp. Got up early. So we'll work together. Humility. Paul then goes on to say, hey, the attitude that we should have in life is an attitude of humility. In fact, you should model your lives after the model that was set forth for us by Jesus himself in chapter 2. And then he goes through and he talks about Jesus who being in the very nature being God and being eternal, but he didn't consider equality with God something to be grasped. And so we're told in the scripture that Jesus lowers himself and becomes one of us, becomes a human. And even when he was as a human, he took a lower form of that and humbled himself and served others and eventually died what Paul calls a criminal's death on the cross, even though he was innocent. And he's saying, so if we want to model our lives after someone, we should model our lives after Jesus and take the position of humility. And we should live to put the needs of others first. And we were completely transparent with each other that isn't easy. If it was easy, we'd all be doing it. But to put the needs of others ahead of ourselves is difficult. But Jesus is our example that we measure ourselves against. And that took us to our next word, which was persevere. So this is where it's going to start sounding similar. We're almost going to have some synonyms. But as I told the campers, Paul kind of repeats himself. He might use different language, but he really wants this church to understand this stuff. Paul wants this church to persevere through tough times, to push through so that we become an example to other people. Like Paul uses the illustration of saying that we become like a shining light in the darkness, or like shining stars in the heavens, that we are drawing people to us by persevering through tough stuff, by persevering through tough times. And what we wanted to remind the campers is that God, even if you're going into fifth grade, sixth grade, doesn't matter how young you are, God is already doing a good work and is at work in you. So keep going. Persevere through that. Do we remember our next word after that? Selfless. Did you hear the enthusiasm in that when we tell middle schoolers to be selfless? I'm 49 years old and I still struggle with this. So Paul then gives two examples of what it means to be selfless, and it's a perfect follow-up for Jesus' humility. And he says, I've got these two guys. One guy's name was Timothy, and another guy's name was what? Epaphroditus. There you go. Epaphroditus, and both of these guys have shown humility, and they have been selfless because Timothy is he's genuinely concerned about other people, and Epaphroditus made this long journey from the Philippian church to get to Paul, and while he was there, he got sick, and he almost died, and Epaphroditus was concerned that they were concerned about him, and so Paul just gives us these two examples of what it means to be selfless, and so our challenge to them was, where in our lives can we be more selfless? And that question is for all of us if we think about it. Where in our lives can we be more selfless? Because our default setting is to be selfish, and Paul's calling us to live a higher level. Now, this is where things got fun. What was our next one after that?
The goat.
The goat. So we talked about the goat, that acronym meaning the greatest of all time, and that might be the most heated that things got here at camp. We put pictures up on the wall of who are sometimes considered the greatest athletes of all time, and this is going to come as a shock to you, but your camper had an opinion on who, if they disagreed or if they agreed with that. And so the reason we came up with this is because Paul begins talking about there are people who are talking about Jesus, but they're also trying to force a lot of rules on people and say, it's not just about following Jesus. You have to follow this and this and this and this. And then they're saying, you have to be like us. You have to be great like us and have this resume. And so Paul kind of sarcastically says, you don't have to do all those things. But if we're comparing resumes, let me show you mine. And so then he pulls out his list of accomplishments and why he thinks I'm probably the greatest if that's what we're talking about. And then after he gives all of this list of accomplishments and awards and things that he's done, after he gets done with that, he says, I used to think this stuff was important, but now I think it's all what?
Garbage.
Now I think it's all garbage. Now I think it's all trash compared with what Jesus did and compared with Jesus' life and what he did for us and the work that he did. And so we kind of came to this conclusion that it's not about what you know, but it's about who you know. It's not about, you can know all the Bible in the world, but if your heart isn't in the right place and you don't know Jesus personally, then kind of what's the point? Now, I encouraged them. I said, we can't take this and go home and the first time we have a math test to say, well, I don't need to study for that math test because it's not about what I know, it's who I know, and I know Jesus. I was like, that's not going to fly. That's not going to fly with mom or dad. That's not going to fly with your math teacher. And that's not going to honor Jesus either. So we can't make that kind of statement. So we only got a few left here. Do we remember what was after the goat?
Keep going.
Keep going. Oh my goodness, you're ready to keep going. All right. Which feels like persevering. And it's because Paul really wants them to understand. So we talked about kind of the middle part of our lives of following Jesus, which is the fancy word that we call sanctification. Kind of the in-between when we first start following Jesus and then when we're done here on this earth. And it's a long, ongoing process. We kind of use two illustrations. One is it's kind of like a roller coaster where it's got a lot of ups and downs, twists and turns. And we don't always know which part of the roller coaster we're in as we're growing and following Jesus. Then we also use the idea of running a race. and what it means to get towards the goal or the finish line, and what that means with that. Now, after keep going, we only got a couple left here. After keep going, we had what?
Imitate!
Oh my goodness, imitate. After that, we had imitate. So Paul then challenges this church to imitate him. He said, now there's basically two options. We can imitate the people who are following Jesus for the right reasons, and he puts himself in that category, not because he's perfect, but because of what Jesus has done for him. And then he says, there's also these people who just live for themselves, and they're selfish, and he uses the phrase, he says, their God is their appetite or their stomach, meaning whatever their desire is, that's what they go after. And Paul says, you've got a choice. We can imitate one of these two, but I'd prefer you imitate us. And so the challenge to the camper was that regardless, either way, if we imitate the right people or the wrong people, there will be consequences for that. If we imitate people who are following Jesus, there will be positive consequences for that. If we imitate people who aren't, there will be consequences for that as well. So we have to choose wisely. And so the challenge was, who are we imitating these days? Couple left. We're in the home stretch here, people. All right. After imitate, we had?
Fix it!
We had this challenge to fix it. Paul has a block there where he really has two different kinds of fix-its. The first fix-it is this, the way that we typically think of fix-it, which is to repair something. And Paul talks about a relationship between two women in the Philippian church with very, very interesting names, Euodia and Syntyche, and they have some sort of disagreement with each other. We don't know what that is, but Paul is saying, I want you to get this figured out. I want you to settle your disagreement. So that's the first kind of fix it. So we're challenged to fix a busted relationship that we might have with somebody else. I said some of you all may have left a strained or a damaged relationship back in your hometown. Maybe that's within somebody in your own home. And our challenge from Jesus is to mend that relationship. That's what Jesus calls us to do. The second kind of fix it is Paul wants us to fix or focus our minds on heavenly things. Things that are pure, things that are true, things that are lovely, things that are noble, things that are worthy of praise. He wants us to fix our minds there. So we have two kinds of fix-its, and we're being challenged to do both of those. And then last night we wrapped up. We had our final word in Philippians as we were wrapping up the week. And what was our last word?
Secret.
The last word was secret. The last word was secret. At the end section of Philippians, Paul starts talking about, I'm in jail, but I've learned the secret to be content, regardless of my circumstances. And we talked about the challenges of being content with anything. And we can't be content with just one of something. We need to have two of something. And we can't be content with this one video game. We have to have another video game. And we can't be content with just this pair of shoes. We have to have another. So we talk about how we're never really content. And Paul says, I've learned the secret of what it means to be content. I've learned the secret of what it means to get along regardless of my circumstances. And here's the secret. Because we also said that Paul's a bad secret keeper. Paul's violated the first law of secrets, which is keeping it to yourself. And Paul says, here's the secret. And it's Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. That says, I can do all things through the one who strengthens me, or through Christ who strengthens me. So what he's saying is, I can endure whatever situation because Jesus is equipping me and strengthening me through those things. And so our challenge to the campers was not only for us to learn the secret, but also to become bad secret keepers as well, so that we can share that secret with others because of that. And that brought us to the end of Philippians. And so hopefully your camper has taken a few little pieces here, there. They've been challenged by some questions personally, especially heading into a new year. Everybody's going into a new school year here. And so hopefully they feel equipped and they've got some stuff to take with them going into the school year. And like I said, they've been given questions. They've got plenty of stuff there if you'd like to ask them about it. But from the bottom of my heart, thank you for entrusting this camp with your camper. Thank you for entrusting me with your camper. I've had a blast. Jesus loves you guys, and I do too. And I've had a fun time being up here and talking with you guys, and you know, seeing you guys at meals and hanging out with you all. So I hope you guys have a great trip home. I hope you guys have a fantastic school year, and keep going. Push on through, even when things aren't necessarily going your way. Keep going. And keep following after Jesus. Our worship team is going to come up and close us out with a final song. And as they're working their way up here, I just like to pray over this group. I'd like to pray for you, parents, adults who have traveled far to pick up your student, and then we'll go from there. So if you guys would bow your heads with me and pray. Jesus, thanks for a fantastic week here. Thanks for walking us through this letter to the Philippians and all of the really practical, the really foundational things that we can take with us forever if we keep hanging on to it, if we keep trusting you. So thanks for that. Thanks for each and every student in here, each and every camper, everybody who worked on staff here, every camp aide who helped clean up the campgrounds here, everybody who worked in the cafeteria, the people who put our videos together, the people who did skits up here on stage, everybody who had a share in this ministry here this week, and they're all important. God, thanks for the parents, for the adults who made a long trip this morning to pick up a camper. And so, God, would you bless their time, their trip home? That would be a good time to talk about just the things that they did, the things that they learned, the good times that they had. But God, we can't thank you enough for this week and what an important and special place this is, not just to me, but to a lot of people here. So God, be glorified in the rest of our day. And wherever we end up, God, may we continue to be lights shining in the darkness for you. In Jesus' name, and everybody said,
amen.
All right.
Thanks for listening to this chapel session and for diving into scripture with us. We hope you've been encouraged in your walk with Jesus, and we hope to see you here at camp for next year's summer camp. So, thanks again, and have a great rest of your day.